Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We're going into 2020.
Oh, very exciting.
Very exciting. We hope that your holidays are wonderful out there to our listeners, and excited for a new year coming up. Well, today's show, we're going to talk about, and I don't think we've ever done this topic.
No.
Okay.
Now, we've been doing this for 17 years, so there's always new topics we hit.
That we haven't done, yeah.
Right.
So we're going to talk about candida and yeast. And Dr. Prather, why a show on candida and yeast infections?
Well, I've actually had quite a few patients recently ask questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
It has been something that is kind of hitting our office right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I promised a couple patients that I would do a show on it.
Ah, they wanted more information.
They wanted more information, and, you know,
we're good at providing information.
That's right. So this is an educational, and for those patients who kind of asked for that, here it is.
So what type of infections are involved with candida and yeast?
Well, of course, you're talking about, as you get into the infections, where that kind of hits. One of the common things is you can see it in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often.
Is that called thrush? Or?
Thrush.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Thrush. It can also very commonly be in the vaginal area.
Mm-hmm.
It also can be in the gut. That's something that we find quite often. And then it can also go systemic. One of the things that you don't want it to do is to get into the lungs, which is something that we've had several patients with recently.
Mm, that the yeast or the candida gets in their lungs.
Right. I mean, everybody sits there and talks about infections, and everybody knows about viral and bacterial. Those are the main ones that they're concerned about. But there's also the yeast infections.
Mm-hmm.
Mold infections that can be definitely a big problem, and people aren't quite as aware of those, and it's oftentimes missed as people go into their physicians. We had a gentleman who had a yeast infection who had gotten into the lungs, and the doctors that they were going to didn't know what to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, providing the type of care, we got immediate relief. Because of what we knew, mm-hmm. you know, and knew how to diagnose it, and got that under control. So it's something that people don't think about, but is much more common problem than what people realize. So not only do you need to be worried about viruses, bacteria, but then also yeast and candida infections are another issue, along with parasitic. And one of the things is that, people get yeast infections, different types of things, and oftentimes are given antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
which makes it worse.
Makes it worse. Grows.
So, right. So, knowing what to do and how to approach it is a very important part of dealing with that.
And we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's talk about, I brought up thrush. What is thrush and what is involved with it?
Well, thrush is when you've got a yeast infection on the mouth. If you stick out your tongue, and a lot of people, as I'm looking in their mouths, they have coating on their tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, that's actually yeast on there. You know, and it doesn't have to be a full-grown thrush, but just that layer of white on the tongue is actually mold and yeast growing,
mm-hmm.
which isn't a good sign.
No.
You should have a nice, clear tongue. That shouldn't be an issue, and that's a sign that you probably have some yeast or mold problems going on in the rest of your body. But white patches on the inside of the mouth is one of the things that occurs with thrush. You can get inflamed red patches on the skin. Bad breath is a sign of thrush. A heavily coated tongue when it gets real coated.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a dry mouth are some of the signs that you have thrush. And it's always not just in the mouth, but it usually means it's through the gut, too.
Because if it's coming out, right?
Right.
We're talking vaginally, or you're saying the tongue, you're going to, It's happening internally.
For it to show up there. So symptoms of thrush are, you know, having thrush is a sign that something's really wrong.
Yeah. And, you know, you heard of that with babies, but this is adults too.
Oh, yeah. We get that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, especially after some pharmaceuticals, corticosteroids or antibiotics, all of a sudden they can develop some thrush, which is a sign that their immune system is weakened and probably should take a different course than doing the antibiotics.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that course later. But now, what are the symptoms of vaginal yeast and what is involved with that?
Well, again, it's oftentimes coming, you know, first in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
You're having yeast vaginally, then you've probably got an overgrowth in the gut that's contributing to that. So itching, pain, and burning are some of the signs on that. Thick yellow discharge and burning during urination are all signs that you can have some a yeast infection going on. And getting that taken care of is a very top priority because it definitely doesn't feel good.
And it probably affects sexual intercourse too.
Oh, absolutely! That definitely puts a damper on the sexual intercourse, and something that should be gotten taken care of, and not just topically,
mm-hmm.
but also looking internally, you know, at the whole health of the individual,
mm-hmm.
is something that really needs to be done at
the
that
root
time.
Of
so,
it is
right.
Yeah, and I'm hearing you talk a lot about gut health, which we're
gut, we keep on going back to that.
Yeah. Can yeast be a problem in the lungs? You were talking a little bit.
Absolutely.
Is that a serious problem?
That can be a very serious problem. One of the things is that we live in an area where, there can be quite a few different type of yeast infections in the lungs, but the one that causes the most problems is histoplasmosis.
Mm.
And histoplasmosis is endemic to Indiana and Indianapolis. It's not everywhere. But it is the leading cause of blindness in Indiana.
Mm.
So it usually winds up in the lungs, starts to cause some problems, can lead to secondary bacterial infections, usually treated then at that point with antibiotics, which gets the bacteria under control, but actually causes the histo to grow more.
Now, why do I think of birds? Does it have something to do with birds?
It has everything to do with birds. And histoplasmosis is something that birds carry, and then it's actually carried by their poop.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're trying to think of a better word.
I was trying to think of a better word. But that's where you can actually get that. And picking it up from birds is one of the common types of things. But Indianapolis was built on a swamp. So what they did is they drained the swamp. It was good farmland, so they cultivated it. But for
drained the swamp.
Yeah, drained the swamp.
I've heard that term before.
Yeah, you have. Well, in Indianapolis, they did drain the swamp. But the problem was that birds had been migrating and had settling here for a couple thousand years. And they had left behind, when you drain the swamp, you also have to get rid of the poop inside of there. I won't say the other term. And when they dig, then that actually spreads, because the histoplasmosis is in the ground, it spreads throughout and people pick it up quite a bit.
And airborne?
Airborne. So it
now,
can
you just
airborne.
Had a patient recently with histo.
Right. Matter of fact, I've had, it seems like this has just been a rash of different type of fungal, candida types of infections that we've been getting from people, from gut to vaginal to thrush to lungs, and then also systemic. So, since we were dealing with it so much, I needed to write up a few instructions for some of my new employees on how to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Nurse practitioner and such, and again, people were wanting some information on along these lines, on you know how we treat that. So why not do a radio program about it? I'm already doing a lot of the work.
Yeah. Now you've mentioned gut quite a bit. Why is yeast and candida a problem in the gut?
Well, you normally have some candida is something that's normal into the gut. That's a lot of people. Argue that
that's normal.
There is a normal amount. It's when there's an overgrowth, and you get a higher than normal type of level, And then you have where it becomes pathogenic.
Well, what's its function then?
The function of the yeast in the gut is the Egyptians.
Oh, I think I know this.
Did the embalming.
Yeah.
What they would do is they would take a material that had anti-yeast properties to it. Mm-hmm. And then they would wash out your body and then they would mummify it, which is essential because yeast and candida is there to decompose you after you die.
Wonderful. So that's purpose.
That's its purpose.
But when you have overgrowth, it's starting early?
It's starting early. So you're alive and it's trying to decompose you.
Oh, boy. So right. It's serious.
Well, yeah. And you know, when the Israelites left Egypt, mm-hmm. They had unleavened bread without mm-hmm. yeast. Because the yeast was a sign of sin because it was a sign of death. So the Egyptians knew that decomposition came from yeast, so that was the association biblically.
Interesting.
So it kind of gives people a little bit of an ideal along those lines. Mm-hmm. But basically, when you have yeast overgrowth, you're being decomposed. Mm-hmm. People with AIDS, and they have the immune suppression. What they die from is that they decompose. They have a certain type of a cancer that develops. Mm-hmm. The cancer only develops because of the yeast decomposition. You actually have people actually decompose while they're alive.
Mm. Well, on that note, let's go to break.
Okay, everybody can have their coffee now, right?
Yeah. When we come
I'm
back.
I'm just full of good news.
Yes,
aren't I?
Yes, I am. We come back more on candida and yeast.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, how common is infertility?
The official numbers are about 10% of the population has been diagnosed with infertility problems.
That'd be women.
Actually, it's about 50-50.
Oh,
when you're talking about infertility issues, it's not just a woman's problem, but it's also a man's problem, too. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, it is actually a growing problem. It's getting worse.
What role does structure function care play in treating infertility?
Most people think about the medical intervention, IVF treatments, but really as you're looking at, the first step should be just trying to get healthy. You know, approaching this from a standpoint of things aren't working right, what's not working right, and then getting it functioning properly. The healthier you are, the more likely you are to get pregnant. That's just the way it works.
Is the Prather Practice successful in treating infertility?
Yes, and one of the things is we have quite a few couples who come in for infertility problems, and we have an extremely high success rate. As we look at the percentage of who I kind of consider was our infertility patients, most of them that we kind of consider had already been through medical intervention trying to get pregnant. We were unsuccessful. And we have about between an 80 and 90% success rate, even with those men and women.
That have already been through the medical.
Have already tried the medical and was unsuccessful.
Interesting.
It's amazing, again, if you get the body healthy, how successful that is.
And the medical intervention is so costly.
Yes, it's extremely costly, but if you've been through it, oftentimes we need to really repair a lot of damage. Because it's really, really hard on the body. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a pleasant experience at all. Very emotional, very expensive. And really, really just wears out. And there's been quite a few women who, I don't even care about getting pregnant right now. I just want to, you know, my hormones are all a mess. You know, I've lost weight. There's all sorts of different things that are going on. When we do their blood work, you know, there's kidney damage, liver damage, you know, that has actually occurred through it. Mm-hmm. And so we get them healthy, and as we're getting them healthy, all of a sudden they get pregnant too. So mm-hmm. it's a very rewarding type of thing.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Jesse!
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're talking today about candida and yeast. And Dr. Prather, before we went to break, we talked a little bit about the gut. And I know you have more to say, but why is yeast and candida a problem in the gut?
Well, when it starts to take off in the gut, because that's where its natural reservoir is, mm-hmm. so if it has an overgrowth in that, then it starts to spread to the rest of the body. Most of the whole problem with vaginal yeast is it's not really there. It's actually coming from the gut and then traveling to the vagina.
Mm, okay.
Also, if it's coming out through the thrush, it's probably it's way overgrown first in the gut before it ever gets up through the mouth. Because mm-hmm. it's much more protected at that point. Also, if you have an overgrowth in the gut, then that's what sets you up to be able to get it in the lungs. So the mm-hmm. gut, if you can keep your yeast under control in your gut, then you can actually usually take care of it everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if it's in the gut, there's a lot of things that start to occur. So one of the things is toenail fungus.
Mm.
Toenail fungus is almost always a sign that the yeast in the gut has kind of spread through the body. That's one of the places that it lands. So if you have toenail fungus, then you have a yeast problem. It's not just located there at your toenails, but it's probably in your gut and starting to spread through your body.
I know these are going to be really pleasant, aren't they?
Yeah. Hopefully everybody's already had supper. So. But persistent fatigue. One of the things we find is if you have an overgrowth in the gut, then fatigue problems are a very common type of thing that start to occur. Constipation, diarrhea, colitis, all can be involved. We've had many people with different types of colitises, and the underlying infection was an overgrowth of yeast.
Ah.
So getting that under control and getting that fixed is a very important part. Abdominal pain can start to occur, rectal bleeding. Insomnia can sometimes be involved with that because the yeast produces different types of chemicals that can affect the brain. ADD, ADHD, we've seen some very good results with that. And then even some dementia in older people, but insomnia can be a big thing. The yeast always goes along with the lowered immune system. The yeast lowers the immune system. Lowered immune system creates yeast.
Mm.
So, you know, as you get kind of into a vicious cycle on that, mm-hmm. the immune system keeps on dropping and all sorts of things start to occur. Kidney bladder infections, oftentimes the root cause is the yeast in the gut. So looking at that, muscle aches and pains, arthritis, canker sores. We've had a lot of people with chronic canker sores. As soon as we got the yeast under control, it's fixed. Sinus problems, allergies, it makes a big effect on the levels of allergies. We've had people who we've cleared up the yeast in their gut, and they said, you know, I've been dealing with seasonal allergies all my life, and now it seems to be all clear. So that's a big thing. Cough, headaches, neuropathy in the hands and feet, depression, anxiety, we were talking about the brain, eczema, a lot of skin problems
mm-hmm.
are fungal caused.
What about dandruff?
Dandruff, absolutely. Yeah. Dandruff is a big sign that you could have some yeast issues.
Mm-hmm.
So getting that under control is all big things. But you can see this can cover quite a few different types of things. So people are coming in and we're finding that the underlying root is a yeast overgrowth in their gut.
And I'm sure this is increased because of our diet and the increase in sugars, and we're going to talk about
diet and how that works together. Yep.
Well, what causes yeast and candida to become an issue? Before we go there, though, I want to make sure, because I have this question, and I'm sure someone listening could, but what's the difference between yeast and candida?
Oh, that's a really good question. Actually, candida is just a form of yeast.
A form of yeast. Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of the better known ones, because it's a common infection, but we have a whole list of different yeasts that can occur even in the gut. Mm-hmm. Candida is the most common one in the gut to start to cause problems.
And I know our stool kit will tell specifically which ones.
And we've been getting, there's definitely been somehow we've gotten a rash, no pun intended, of yeast problems.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what causes yeast and candida to become an issue?
Well, antibiotics are well known to kind of kick that up. And mm-hmm. People said, well, you know, I haven't taken antibiotics, but it's amazing how many antibiotics that we get from our meat. So the chickens, mm-hmm. The cows, the pigs, all the different ones are kind of drenched with antibiotics before they come in. And we get a huge amount of antibiotics in our diet. So even if you haven't taken an antibiotic in your entire life, you've still been exposed to way too many antibiotics. So mm-hmm. one of the things, trying to get antibiotic-free meat, there are different types of places that you can do that. But that's a very big issue. Corticosteroids really kick it up. Matter of fact, all pharmaceuticals, with the petrochemicals involved with that, mm-hmm. Kick up yeast and candida in the gut. Bad gut flora. You don't have your normal flora. If you don't have the good guys, then you're going to start to develop the bad guys. Low fiber diet with a high sugar. The fiber-sugar balance on that. We're supposed to take in much more fiber. Our great-grandparents used to take in the amount of fiber that they take in is what we take in sugar. And how much sugar was how much fiber. So it kind of goes back and forth on that. So we take in too much sugar and not enough fiber. Mm-hmm. And then we don't have enough gut flora. A weak digestive enzymes plays a big role on that. Weakened immune system. Now, when that occurs, that starts to kick off. If you weren't breastfed, because mm-hmm. you're supposed to get your bacteria from your mom in breastfeeding, and they find that people who were not breastfed, that they have higher levels of yeast, candida, and a lower immune system through the rest of their life.
Now, what if the mom has candida and she's breastfeeding?
They don't get as much, but that is something that really a woman should get fixed beforehand. Mm-hmm. Because if she doesn't have good gut flora, mm-hmm. then, right. So I always recommend to moms to try to get fixed before, you know, get healthy before they have a child. Mm-hmm. And to get healthy, especially as they're breastfeeding. Stress.
So, good old stress.
Yeah, stress weakens the immune system, kicks up the yeast, and sets that off. Imbalanced hormones, and along with that, birth control pills. So we had a gal who came in who started all these problems as soon as she started with the birth control pills. Mm-hmm. And so she quit, but all the problems kept on coming. So she said, I'd never had yeast infections. You know, I never had all these canker sores, you know, all these different types of things that kicked up. So we did a stool kit on her, and the candida levels were way too high. Mm-hmm. So we got rid of that, got that under control, but it was kicked off by her birth control pills, something that's well known to occur. And then nutritional deficiencies can also be a big part. So those are kind of like the underlying things that kick that mm-hmm. off, and that you have to get under control to be able to control the yeast.
Okay. Well, what is meant? You brought up systemic yeast or candida. That's sure. when it goes through the whole system, but if you can explain that.
Yeah, what happens is it's supposed to be kept in the gut, but if you start to get a leaky gut, which...
The candida and yeast should be in the gut.
Should only be in the gut.
Amount.
Right.
Okay.
But if it starts to grow heavy, then it can actually start to get into the bloodstream. When it gets into the bloodstream, then you can start to get a lot of different types of problems that start to occur. Matter of fact, it's one of the things that can kick off autoimmune diseases because it puts such a stress on the immune system.
Oh, interesting.
So it can actually start to spread through the body. Matter of fact, like we were talking about the toenail, mm-hmm. That's one of the things. Toenail fungus is actually usually coming from the gut. It's gotten into the bloodstream and then started the toenail fungus actually internally. Mm. People always try to treat it externally, mm-hmm. but it's actually an internal problem. And if you get the gut cleaned up, then the toenail fungus goes away.
Mm-hmm. Isn't most of it an inside job?
It's usually an inside job, uh-huh. Yes.
So what symptoms are reportedly involved with systemic candida?
It's amazing all the different types of things that can actually occur with systemic. It can actually imitate about everything.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that we get is the fatigue factor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fatigued, I've got weird symptoms. They go back and forth. I've got these headaches. I'm driving all my doctors crazy because they have no idea what's going on with
mm-hmm.
me. So you can actually do some blood tests and find out if you have immunoglobulins to the yeast and the candida.
Mm-hmm.
If it shows up in that, in the bloodstream, then you have systemic candida,
okay.
Or systemic yeast that's going on. And it can pretty much mimic about everything. And the people who have that are really usually desperate and have been to about every other doctor, and the doctor says, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it can imitate anything.
Okay, interesting. When we come back, we're going to talk about treatments, both medical and structure function treatments that we do at the Prather practice for yeast and candida.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. On behalf of all of us here at The Voice of Health and for the entire staff at the Prather Practice, we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
The Voice of Health Minute with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Antibiotics weaken the immune system. If you take a 10-day supply, it takes 3 months for your immune system to recover. All pharmaceuticals make you sicker. If they didn't make you sicker, then they couldn't be classified as a pharmaceutical. So they weaken the immune system by their very nature. Antibiotics do not work on the viral infection. They don't touch viruses at all. only 10% of the time should you be getting a antibiotic for a upper respiratory infection. Unfortunately, for upper respiratory infections, antibiotics is the most commonly prescribed thing. You're supposed to test to see if it's bacterial or viral. 73% of all sore throats are given an antibiotic, and only 10% of them actually should have an antibiotic given.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Detailed lab tests are crucial to understanding your health. As Dr. Prather always says, if you don't test, you don't know. There are certain lab tests that all of us should have at least once per year. At the Prather Practice, we recommend three affordable tests that provide the blueprint to your health. The Prather Profile is the most comprehensive blood analysis available, providing more information about the function of your body than any other test. Minerals are the common deficiencies in the body, and hair analysis is the most effective way to analyze mineral levels. The bowels have the largest influence on the immune system, and the best way to test that is through the GI Effects Toolkit. The Prather Profile Blood Analysis and the GI Effects Toolkit are even covered by most insurances. Don't guess when it comes to your health. Discover the blueprint to your health at the Prather Practice by calling us at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ was born. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking today about candida and yeast. And Dr. Prather, let's talk about the treatments for yeast and candida infections. Let's start with the medical treatments out there.
Sure. The pharmaceuticals that are involved on that can be very good, but oftentimes don't really get it under control. Mm-hmm. One of the things that they found is as you take those, and it's just located in the gut, the researchers that I've talked to says that yeast and the candida can actually change form. And so if it hits with fungal medications, oftentimes turns into almost like an amoeba type, mm-hmm. which actually spreads through the body. So we usually find that the pharmaceutical treatments seems to encourage and make it more systemic in the system, mm-hmm. instead of just isolated to the gut or to the other locations. So we're not really pleased with the results with the pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. We usually find that, yes, it gives some good short-term, but over long term, we don't find the type of results that are more long lasting.
So really, when it comes to the medical treatments for this, it's not very effective.
For the yeast and, yeah, for histoplasmosis, for most of the bacterial antibiotics, you know, have been very effective on the bacteria.
Yeah.
So that was really a great thing, though we are losing the battle on that, where we're actually becoming in a post-antibiotic age. But for viral, fungal, and parasites, the pharmaceuticals really, really fall short. And really, the natural products seem to have much better, long-lasting type of results.
Well, let's talk about that. We practice structure function care at the Prather Practice. And why is structure function care important for yeast and fungal infections?
It's the way that you can get the best results. Mm-hmm. So really going after it in a natural form is where you can really get the health and get those things under control. Mm-hmm. We had a interesting case where we had a gentleman who was a politician who came into our office rather distraught. He had been in having quite a bit of health issues, had taken quite a bit of antibiotics there for a period of time, and had developed a lot of yeast and candida problems. And had started on several rounds of antifungal, anti-yeast medications. And he was pulled over by an officer and had to do a breath test. And he showed up that he was over the limit on alcohol. Mm. And as a politician, a well-known politician, he was in trouble. Mm-hmm. because if he was convicted, that would be out there and would have given him a black eye. Now, what's interesting about it is he's a teetotaler. He's never taken an alcoholic drink in his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So what the heck is going on? Well, the problem is that the yeast had gone through his whole body. And what happens when you use yeast, you get alcohol. If you put yeast into
a distillery.
He had become a distillery.
Oh, my God.
His body had actually was breaking down, and he was forming alcohol in his body because of the yeast overgrowth. Terrible.
Right.
And this was a result of, you know, the pharmaceuticals had just gotten, had really just spread it throughout the system. So we had to discontinue those things. We had to keep him really healthy and had to really start him on a very, very strong yeast program and get that back under control. Plus, he actually needed a letter from me explaining the physiology of what had actually happened. And that the judge took that into consideration, used me as a special authority on that with some backup from scientific literature, that this was the reason that the poor guy had been, he had been weaving because he was actually drunk because of the alcohol, not anything he had taken in,
right?
But what his body was just producing. Crazy, huh?
Yeah, really crazy.
So this can have a huge effect. So finding out and going after this in a natural way, we get much, much better results. So this is something that stands out in a structure function way, doing much, much better.
Well, let's talk about some of those natural means. Herbals. Why are herbals so helpful in fighting yeast and candida?
Herbals are, not only do yeast want to come in, yeast and fungus, want to come into our body and eat us, but they also want to eat plants. So yeast and candida and all those types of things are out there, and they get on things like you put out bread and it becomes moldy.
Yeah.
Well, that's the nature's way of breaking it down. So yeast and fungus and candida break things down. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do that to plants too. So plants have developed defenses that work against it, very effective ones.
Interesting. And you're talking about herbals.
We're talking about herbals with that. So they can sit there and they have defenses that are already set up. So we can utilize those defenses and actually protect the body and get
They're smarter than us.
They have been around for quite a long time, and they've developed it over a very long time on how that works. You know, and when we're talking about the pharmaceuticals, the problem with the pharmaceuticals is that, remember I said that pharmaceuticals by their very nature kick up yeast and fungus through the petrochemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using a petrochemical in a pharmaceutical way to fight them, but they actually like that. So it doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
So the plants have developed different types of carriers for their toxins that they go after the fungus, but also it's protective of the plant material, so it doesn't kill that. So they've got it down.
I want to know what these plants are. They sound pretty smart to me.
Well, interestingly enough, the number one killer of yeast and fungus is oregano.
Oregano. All right.
Oregano.
Yeah.
It is, when they've, oregano oil, when they've compared that to every single pharmaceutical out there, it's like 100 times more effective.
Yeah. But the, and we sell the oregano oil.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd rather have it on my pizza.
It's a lot stronger than the oregano that you would get normally. So we tell people, oh, I can get oregano. It's not the same thing.
Not the same.
So, but it is the most powerful antifungal medication out there and just really, really kicks butt. And we've got probably, we've found the strongest form of that that works well, but it works well with the body, non-toxic to the body, and just really gets that under control. Now, we also put it with other things because the fungus and candida is very
opportunistic,
and also it disguises itself well. And it shifts form, so if you hit it with more than one type of form, it doesn't have a chance to kind of, because it puts up defenses.
Okay.
So you want to keep it on the run.
Uh-huh.
So you have to hit it with multiple things. And berberin is a chemical that's very excellent on that, and that's found in golden seal, barberry, and Oregon grape root.
Mm-hmm. We have all those. I see.
Yes,
them.
We do.
And in our office.
Those are all that berberine in there is really a great chemical, mm-hmm. and something that we always put with the oregano to be able to go after that and get that under control.
Are you saying chemical or herbal?
Well, it's the chemical in the herbs
okay.
that makes that work, and it really works absolutely amazing. Echinacea is also something that we use quite a bit and very good. Garlic is amazing, and especially for vaginal mm-hmm. candidiasis, it is absolutely great. Tea tree oil, melaleuca. I mean, that's very well known, mm-hmm. both topically and internally, to get that under control. Grapefruit seed extract is something also that we use. Ginseng root, partiarco, peppermint, wormwood, which is artemisia, and rosemary are all very, very excellent. Probably the top antifungal.
And I like what we do is we can look at specifically
sure
what would benefit that person. We're able to individualize what they need.
Yes, and we take a whole host of those and kind of check out, see which ones and what combinations. Usually it's a combination that works the best.
Yeah.
And it's very effective, and we get much quicker, much better effect than we do pharmaceutically.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about probiotics. I mean, probiotics are really important with yeast and candida.
Yes, probiotics are absolutely, because what you want to do, the whole reason that the yeast and candida have grown is because you don't have the normal bacteria. If the normal bacteria are gone in the gut, then the body, the yeast and candida, again, are opportunistic, mm-hmm. and they'll start to grow and say, hey, there's no more life in here, let's start chewing up this body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got the good guys in there, the bacteria that are supposed to be in there in high quantities, they actually fight and keep the candida and yeast under control. And the candida and the yeast actually sit in the background and say, hey, we got good gut flora in here, no reason to start growing yet.
Interesting.
They're just trying to do their job.
Right. And all probiotics are not the same.
Not all probiotics are not the same, and how people respond to them mm-hmm. are not the same. One of the things is that National Institute of Health has done an amazing amount of research recently on the gut. They've had a whole 15-year project that they're working on that. And so we've gotten the latest, greatest types of probiotics out there that have really made a big, big difference, and we're seeing great results on that. And this is all based off of national government research on being able to get those that regrowth into the gut. And we can do pre and post GI stool kits, and then we can actually see the changes on that, and it's really coming along fantastic.
Oh, great. So when we come back, let's talk more on natural treatments for the treatment of yeast and fungal infections.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What I'm talking about today is the Atlas Orthogonal Technique, which is very dear to my heart. The Atlas Orthogonal Technique is really what saved my life. I had Graves' disease and was having a lot of difficulties with it. And I went and had an Atlas orthogonist adjust my neck, and within 3 months, all my health problems were actually gone. So that's at the time that I decided to dedicate myself to the pursuit of people's health, because I had such a relief along this. And the basis and the cornerstone of my practice is the Atlas Orthogonal Technique, which is a specific adjustment to the cervical spine, concentrating on the atlas as a lever mechanism. The area of the atlas occiput and axis is the most important area of your body. It is the lower brainstem, which controls all the autonomic nervous system, the whole nervous system that is beyond our mental control, and is considered by the body as the most important area. Any type of an injury to that area will cause instantaneous death. So looking at that and working with it can have a very, very huge impact on people's health and well-being. I actually was able to go with an intern with Dr. Sweat, who is the originator of the atlas orthogonal technique, and was able to be involved in the complete development. I was in the original six who was trained in that. I am at this point the only board-certified atlas orthogonist in the state of Indiana. It is a three-year postgraduate work and can have a huge impact on people's health. Matter of fact, I consider that probably the most important thing that you can do to have the biggest impact on your health is to actually have your atlas put back into proper position. It is something that someone needs to have done, to have checked, and make sure that that's good and should be checked at least once a year.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking about yeast and candida infections, and we've been talking about natural treatments that are highly effective for this. What role does digestive enzymes play? We talked about herbals, the importance, probiotics. What about digestive enzymes?
A lot of deficiency that we find as we test people out. It starts out with hydrochloric acid in the stomach. Most people are deficient along those lines, so getting that up to par. Pancreatic enzymes are chronically a problem, so we have to rebuild the body's ability to make both of those. You know, again, if you have that going right, it keeps the gut healthy, and if you can keep the gut healthy, you're going to keep the yeast and candida under control. But if you don't have the proper digestive enzymes, one, you're not getting the nutrients, it causes problems, the normal gut flora is not working right, and again, the body just decides, hey, you know, this body's not really worth it anymore, let's just break it down and get rid of it, because it's not that great.
Wow. So, let's talk about short-chain fatty acids, and how do they help with fighting fungus and candida?
Yeah, short-chain fatty acids are a very interesting type of thing. When they were first discovered, they really weren't quite sure, but they had found that putting short-chain fatty acids, the main way that they did that was ghee butter.
Which we use.
Which we use, which really builds that up.
That's
and
the only
really
kind
helps.
Of butter we use. Because it's fermented, right?
Right, it's fermented. Coconut oil, also, as long as it's not heated, has a lot of short-chain fatty acids. That's why people take coconut oil for weight loss, because all of a sudden their gut goes down. Because the short-chain fatty acids is the main food that the villi of the small intestine and then the good bacteria eat. So that's the food that they live off of. So we have products that work along those lines. There's also things that we tell people to take. But those are the things that are really, really good to nourish the cells of the small intestine as they go through so that they can absorb the food. Also, you don't get the breakdown of the walls of the small intestine, so you don't get the leaky gut. And then also, it helps to encourage the normal bacteria growth, which suppresses the candida and the yeast. So, really excellent type of way of keeping things under control. They used to have a thing, well, they still do, for small children. They call it failure to thrive. That's because you can put food into them, but they never really absorb it. The reason is because they don't have enough short-chain fatty acids. You actually get that started with the breast milk. That's one of the things that women's breast milk that they put out quite a bit. And then they build that up, and that helps to nourish the child through the early years. And if they don't get that from the mom, then they have something called failure to thrive. And they found if they would put ghee butter into them, then all of a sudden the kid would pop back up. Mm-hmm. So that was the first time that they tried to figure out what was going on with
them. The short-chain fatty acids.
Short-chain fatty acids, extremely important.
So ghee butter's been around a long time.
Ghee butter's been around for a long time.
And we find it, what we get ours at Market District.
Market District. Yeah. And actually, we like it better than regular butter.
Yeah, yeah. We use it instead of regular butter.
Sure.
Let's talk about vitamins. What vitamins are important for fighting fungal?
Ones that they found that do help out quite a bit is there's a very strong correlation with vitamin A and vitamin D. Of course, vitamin A, of course, is the big immune one. Mm-hmm. So having that up to par, that always boosts up the immune system and make things better. Vitamin B6, riboflavin. Riboflavin deficiencies is always very common in yeast and candida. Biotin is also very important in vitamin C. So those are the vitamins that are really necessary. Now, also along with the short-chain fatty acids, omega-3 and omega-6s also make a big difference in yeast and candida overgrowth.
Okay.
So those are all the ones that you have to look at.
Well, I want to make sure we talk about diet.
Yes.
It's really important. What diet is best for avoiding fungus and candida?
High-fiber diet is very, very good with a low sugar. Excellent along those lines. Also, you want to keep the chemicals down as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Having refined sugars.
One of the things that we had found for several of the people that we've treated is saying, hey, you've got to go to antibiotic-free meat. Mm-hmm. One of the places that you can get that is Moody's Meat Market over in Zionsville. They specialize in antibiotic-free meat. And so that's a really good source. So we sent several people there. And that seemed to be one of the major things on turning them around. Mm-hmm. So a great way to do that, Moody's, with their antibiotic-free meat, they grow it themselves. It's a great place to get that.
They are no longer open. The Grain and Salt Society, we used to get unleavened bread through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to cut down on the sugar. You want to cut down on the amount of yeast you take in. So you have to watch that, especially with the alcohol.
Right.
Alcohol definitely has a lot of yeast in it. So, you know, we tell people you got to stop their beer, and they look very sad at you, but does make a big difference.
Ruin it.
Right, I know.
How about minerals?
Minerals. The most important one that we see on that is copper level. If copper goes too low or too high, it kicks up candida and yeast.
So it needs to be balanced.
It needs to be balanced. And then zinc goes along with that. Deficiencies in zinc are very, very common along those lines. Now, one of the things that they find with everybody who has yeast problems and candida problems are low on magnesium.
Ah.
For some reason, candida and yeast in the gut prevent the absorption of magnesium. Mm-hmm. So everyone who has that needs to take a higher level of magnesium. Now, we don't know if the magnesium causes the overgrowth or the overgrowth causes the magnesium deficiency. Mm-hmm. But magnesium is always a part of that. Iron deficiency or too high of iron, just like
the
copper.
Balance, that homeostasis.
Homeostasis is really important. That really makes a big difference. And then selenium also is one of the minerals that are extremely important.
Okay, interesting. And role of exercise.
Exercise actually cuts down on yeast and candida. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting thing. If you sit around, that is a stressor on the body and seems to really increase the amount of yeast and candida. So regular exercise, people see a definite difference.
Yeah, get up and move.
Get up and move and have a regular exercise program. It doesn't take that much.
No. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Thank you, Lisa.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.